Welcome to Nobody Told Me. I'm Laura Owens.
And I'm Jan Black.
On this episode, we're talking about how to speak, how to listen, and why we should polish our skills at both of these things. We're also going to explore the impact that sound in general has on our lives. We're thrilled to welcome our guest, sound and communication expert Julian Treasure, whose latest book is called How to Be Heard, Secrets for Powerful Speaking and Listening.
And Julian's previous book, Sound Business, is a manual for effective sound use in every aspect of business. His five TED Talks have been watched more than 100 million times. And one of those talks, How to Speak So That People Want to Listen, is in the top 10 TED Talks of all time. Julian, thank you so much for joining us.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Your goal is to transform the world by inspiring people to listen consciously and speak powerfully. How did that vision come about, and why is it so important to you?
Well, I think you only have to look at the state of the world right now to see that never have we needed listening more than we need it at the moment. With everything that's happened in the past few months, COVID, of course, and the terrible events leading to the Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, if somebody had listened at that moment to somebody saying, I can't breathe, it would have been a very different outcome, wouldn't it? So not listening can change the world. Listening can change the world. And we have polarized politics. We have people shouting. We really need it right now. One of the most common complaint in relationships, he or she never listens to me. So it's tragically something that we simply don't teach our kids in school. You know, it's a scandal if a child leaves school unable to read or write. And yet millions of children leave school every year, never having been taught that listening is a skill. It's a skill that you can master, and it's a skill that you can work on and improve your whole life. And it has such a powerful effect on your outcomes in the world.
You just mentioned the Black Lives Matter movement. You think about I can't breathe and how that is a phrase that people have been listening to and repeating over and over again, and it really had an impact on people. But you also think about how people chose to speak out and get their voices heard. So it seems like both speaking and listening were very important. In general, is one more important than the other?
Well, it's interesting to look at the numbers, and there's a little poll I can offer you, which is that my TED talk on speaking has been seen by about five times as many people as my TED talk on listening. And that says something, doesn't it? There's a very
Absolutely.
Old adage from Roman times, we have two ears and one mouth, you know, the implication being that listening is twice as important as speaking. I mean, they're both important. And the thesis of my book and my course and everything else that I teach is that they're in a circular relationship. You know, it's a dynamic, organic relationship. So it's not a straight line. It's not I speak, you listen, because the way I speak affects the way you listen. The way you listen affects the way I speak, and on. The way I listen affects the way you listen, and so on. There's this dynamic going on all the time. Nevertheless, I would really focus on the listening side, given a choice, because I think most people are conscious that speaking is something they want to do. We want to be out there. We want to be able to project, to get our message across, to communicate to others. And yet we do so forget that underpinning powerful speaking every time has got to be conscious, effective listening. There are very few people who will inspire you, you know, knock your socks off and get you enrolled in some tremendous thing who don't listen. Most of the time, great listeners can then inspire people by also being accurate, effective, and appropriate speakers.
And you wrote a recent blog post about the five ways listening can change a person's life. What are they?
Well, listening is right behind understanding. I always say conscious listening is the doorway to understanding. And that's the reason I think we need so much of it in the world at the moment. You know, politicians go off and have talks, and I really wish they'd go off and have listens instead, because I think it would be much more effective.
Right.
So listening opens the door to understanding other people. If we're not listening, we can't have civil society. You know, we can't have civilized disagreement. I may not agree with you, but I can at least listen to you and understand why you believe what you believe, how you got to that point. Listening promotes intimacy. It's all intimacy really is about listening to the other person. And that can get tired in a relationship, in a family, can't it? I mean, if we've been together for years and years and years, I start thinking, I know what you're going to say every time. Oh, there she goes again, you know, that kind of thing. Well, a great exercise for that is really to make a big effort to listen to your partner as if for the first time, as if for the first time, going back to when you first encountered that person and just let them surprise you again. Listening is how you persuade and inspire people. How can I possibly inspire somebody if I don't understand them and listen to them? If I'm talking, you know, the wrong language, they're a how person. They want to know the nuts and bolts, and I'm all big picture and strategy, or vice versa. So I need to understand who I'm talking to and what they really need to understand. Listening is a way of improving your well-being as well. You know, sound, as I'm sure we'll talk about in a moment, sound has powerful effects on us. And if we're numb and not listening to the sound around us, then we can be surrounding ourselves with sound that actually is damaging our health and our well-being. So it's really important to be listening to the world in order to keep ourselves healthy. And finally, listening is how we learn. I mean, how on earth do we learn anything if we don't listen? You know, I don't know if you know an I know person. I've met a few. I know.
Oh, yes.
Well, if you know everything, what are you going to learn? Not much, you know? So it's very important to be, there's a humility in listening. I talk about the four C's of effective listening, which are consciousness. That is to say, being conscious, you're actually doing a thing. It's not a natural capability like hearing. It's a skill that you're practicing. And if you're conscious of that, you can do it well. Compassion, seeking to understand the other person, seeking to get where they're coming from. Curiosity, absolutely crucial to be curious. I might learn something here. In every encounter, you know, everybody that you meet is an opportunity to learn something. And finally, commitment is the final C, because listening takes time and effort. You know, we have to put things down. I think Scott Peck, one of my favorite authors, said, you cannot truly listen to another human being and do anything else at the same time. Well, I wonder, everyone listening to this, when's the last time you put everything down and looked at somebody and gave them 100% of your attention? It's such a gift, and it's rare. You know, I honestly believe there are millions of people on this planet who've never had that experience of being completely listened to. Try it tonight with your family. I mean, you'll probably get a reaction like, what are you doing? Because they're not used to it, you know? Yeah. But my goodness, what a gift to give to somebody is that full attention.
It's really interesting that you talk about that. I've been thinking a lot lately since we figured out that we were going to be able to have you on as a guest, that the impact of sound on our lives is really different now than it used to be with everybody working from home. And these sounds that we all became really used to with, oh, our coworkers are next to us, they're typing, oh, we hear their laughter. We hear all these different noises at the coffee shop. Well, now we're at home and maybe we hear a dog bark or we hear our kids saying something, but we're not hearing the same things. And that has to have some sort of an impact. And then you also put into the equation the fact that our meetings are now held virtually.
It's a very different world, isn't it? It's a quieter world. So, you know, there's less traffic, there's less aircraft. So the whole place has got quieter. And I wonder if that's going to have a long-term effect and if it's going to reintroduce people to a little bit of serenity, and maybe we'll try to cling on to some of that when everything starts up again. I doubt aircraft will ever fly to the degree they were before. Maybe they will. But certainly cities are quieter places at the moment. It's one small boon from, you know, the hideous experience of everybody being locked down and unable to go out. So yes, it's got quieter, and the noises of home have been far more familiar to us. We, you know, a lot of people miss the babble of being around other people. A lot of other people are feeling pretty trepidatious, really, about going back into close contact with people. We've all been locked away for quite a long time, and a lot of people have got very familiar with being at home, having lunch with their family. You know, there are many advantages of WFH, as it's now known as. We've discovered those. So I'm sure that there'll be a lasting impact there as well. And you mentioned video conferencing. I mean, that's very interesting to me. You know, one of the big winners out of the whole crisis has been Zoom, of course, and it's become kind of a generic word like Google or Hoover. You know, I'll Zoom you. Well, they've done really well out of it. We're using it right now. However, there are good and bad things about this. I mean, the bad thing about it is that never, you know, it's clear that a face-to-face meeting, you get more input. You can see every reaction of a person. You can kind of, you're in tune with them in a much closer way than you are through a computer screen. On the other hand, it's more powerful than telephone, which is what we used to use a lot, or just voice. Because in general, if you're doing a video conference, and I mean, the audio is the most important part, obviously, you can carry on. I mean, right now we are in audio only and we're communicating perfectly well. If you've got video as well, that's a bonus. And the interesting thing to me is that when that's happening, there's a kind of unwritten etiquette. It would be very rude to be on a video call and doing text or, you know, lying back with your feet up and doing something else. It's kind of obligatory to be looking at the other person, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So there's a more attentive listening which happens when you're on a screen and people can see what you're doing because they're looking right at you. Now, that isn't obviously so true. If there are 50 people on the screen, you can't keep an eye on everybody. But if it's one-to-one, it certainly is a more attentive listening than what tends to happen on the telephone, where, you know, you have no idea what I might be doing when I'm on the phone to you. I might be drawing or, you know, talking to somebody else while I've got it on mute or whatever it is. So that's definitely a difference. And I think we're getting used to it. And I don't think the world will ever quite return to where it was. You know, a lot of us have realized that the days of traveling to get to a 1 hour meeting, well, all that carbon, all that money, all that time for a 1 hour meeting, which we can do really almost as well on a thing like this, that's going to change the world for good, I think.
We love having you as part of our Nobody Told Me family of listeners. We know a lot of you want to be your own boss or already operate your own business. That's why we want you to know about Shopify.
Hear that? That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, and the moment another business dream becomes reality. Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform that's revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle.
Shopify puts you in control of every sale channel. So whether you're selling satin sheets from Shopify's in-person POS system, or offering organic olive oil on Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform, you're covered. And once you've reached your audience, Shopify has the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers to buyers.
Once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere.
What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is truly a global force, powering Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 170 countries.
Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nobody, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/nobody to take your business to the next level today.
Shopify.com/nobody.
You know that as far as communication is concerned, younger people would rather text than talk to someone in person. What concerns do you have about that?
It's interesting. We've been using complex language for well over 100,000 years, possibly getting on for 200,000 years, a long time. We've been speaking to each other and listening. We only invented writing 4,000 years ago. Did you know that? It's quite recent.
No.
Yet it's kind of come up on the rails and overtaken speaking and listening to the degree that it's become our number one way of communicating, really, text, instant messaging. It started with email, of course, really this whole screen and keyboard fixation that we have. I totally get that for many people, it's a safer way to communicate because it's kind of arm's length, isn't it? If you want to ask somebody out, break up with somebody, you know, be rude to somebody. I mean, goodness, look at the rudeness that you get under YouTube videos or on Twitter, the shaming, the trolling and so forth. I don't think those people would say that if they were face to face. So there's a kind of false security in it, or sometimes a true security in it. I get that. And there are many advantages to writing. Nevertheless, it does concern me because speaking and listening is immediate, rich, nuanced. It's the most powerful form of communication we have. And yet we're sending all these kids out of school with, you know, excellent reading and writing skills, lacking the ability to sit in front of somebody and inspire them. So that, I think, is a big miss. And I really, really believe that it's time we started to teach our children how to speak and listen as skills and not expect them simply to pick these things up along the way.
And I think they're really missing out on that. I was thinking about how, as a millennial, I was fortunate enough to grow up on the bubble of when people were starting to use texting and emailing, but also still treasured voice communication. And I was thinking back to my grandmother who died in 2011, and I have a bunch of emails saved from her that are great to look at. But when I really think about her, my greatest memories are of her voice, and I can really vividly hear her voice telling stories, even though I don't have that on record. And it just makes me sad that so much of the next generation is going to grow up not really treasuring that, or maybe they'll send their grandparents a text and say, hey, how are you doing? But they won't have that voice communication that really does add a level of closeness to a relationship.
It really does. And sound goes very deep, very fast. It's our primary warning sense. It's the first thing you hear in the womb, you know, your mother's heartbeat. Before you have eyes, you're listening to that and sensing it. So it's an enormously powerful sense. And yes, I think what you just said is very true and very moving. And a good tip for anybody listening to this, we all have smartphones, or many people have smartphones now, which have got little audio recorders on them. Why not sit with your elderly relatives, or even your not so elderly relatives, and have a chat and ask them to tell you about their life and so forth and record it? And when they're gone, that'll be a lasting memory. You'll still have that really special emotive connection with them. That is a wonderful thing to do. And I think it's tragic that we don't do that. You know, when people go, they go. And as you say, you have photographs, you have letters, emails, texts maybe, but not quite the same thing as having a recording of their voice. I think that's a wonderful thing to do.
Are we all distinct individuals in terms of the sounds that make us feel comfortable or the sounds that drive us crazy? Or is there a great deal of variation between what might make me feel comfortable and what might make you feel comfortable in terms of sounds?
Well, there is a lot of variation across the world in different cultures, of course, and also between individuals. It's a really, really important thing to realize, and a big part of what I teach, that every human being's listening is unique. It's as unique as your fingerprints, your voice print, or your irises. And the reason for that is that we listen through a set of filters, which are things that we accumulate along the way. So you guys have come a different road to this conversation to me. We have different filters. The language we speak, well, it's almost the same, but not quite. The culture that we were born into, whether it's national or regional, local, familial, you know, whatever tribe or group or clan you come from, it has an effect on the way you listen. And then your values, attitudes, and beliefs, the things you pick up from parents, teachers, role models, friends, whoever it is that you pick some up and you discard others. And then your intentions or expectations in any given situation, emotions might be playing a part. So your listening will change through the day as well. Very different listening. If you've just had great news, you're listening in one way. If you've just had terrible news, you're listening in a totally other way. Tiredness and so forth affected. So it's really important to realize that, because the biggest and most common mistake that I see people making when they're trying to speak powerfully is to assume everybody listens like I do. They don't. Everybody listens in their own individual way. So a key question to ask yourself, whether it's one-to-one or you're standing in front of 1,000 people and talking to them, ask yourself, what's the listening? What's the listening I'm speaking into? And just by asking that question, you'll become more and more sensitive to it, and you'll be hitting the bullseye instead of missing the target altogether. So having said that, everybody's listening is unique. People from similar backgrounds will have a lot of similarities. And also there are some things that are common to all of humanity. For example, some of the least popular sounds I imagine would transport into every country in the world. The sound of a baby crying. Mm-hmm. That's a sound which agitates us all, because at genetic level, we know that's a baby that needs looking after. Mm-hmm. You know, there's few things worse than being on an 8-hour flight when we used to be on 8-hour flights. What can you do? It's not your baby. You can't do anything about it. That is a real stress on anybody. Or the sound of things scraping, you know, a knife on glass, nails on blackboard, the sound of somebody being sick. You know, these are sounds which nobody likes, and pretty much globally, they're going to be universal dislikes. And equally, I would suggest my favorite sound, the sound of gentle rain on leaves outside the window in the summer. Well, that's probably something that most people like. Most people like gentle bird song, the sound of gentle water, biophilic sounds, we call them. That's generally popular. Wind, water, birds, they've been around far longer than we have on this planet. And actually, interestingly, the research is now showing that they're good for us. They help in healing, and they help us to be calm. They reduce stress and tension and so forth. So they're good sounds to surround yourself with.
One of the key things that we learn is that in order to be a good speaker, you have to have a really engaging voice and communicate a level of excitement and take the audience where your emotions are going. But then I saw you wrote about Stephen Hawking, and it hit me that we all found him to be so captivating and fascinating and smart when he obviously couldn't speak and did everything differently than we're taught to do. Why is that?
Well, I asked this question to Chris Anderson, the head of TED, and it was an interesting answer. I said to him, what's more important, Chris? Is it content or delivery? And he said, well, obviously they're both important, but given a choice, content every time. Because I'll sit and really work at listening to somebody who's saying something earth-shattering or really, really interesting, even if their delivery is poor and they're tedious or fumbling about or whatever it may be. On the other hand, somebody who is delivering brilliantly vapid nonsense is just irritating, because they could be doing so much more. Mm-hmm. So clearly they're both important things, but Hawking, you know, with what he's done and with the body of work that he left behind him, well, you would have to be in awe and respect of that man. And even if it was one word an hour, I think we'd be sitting there waiting for the next one with bated breath, you know? So, I'm not downplaying the importance of delivery, but even on the TED stage, I've seen people who've been overcoached, and where it's a performance that's kind of, there's an insincerity about it, because you know that every gesture's been manicured and positioned and so forth. I talk about HALE, the foundations of powerful speaking, which are honesty, so that is being clear and straight in what you say, not trying to impress people with big words or bamboozle them or anything like that. The A is authenticity, which is being yourself. So much easier than being somebody else all the time, but right. It really is. And people respect it, you know, and if you, whether you're talking to one person or 1,000 people, again, people can tell if you're putting it on, if it's all about you, if you're trying to project some sort of image which isn't you. It's a strain, and people can spot it. The I is integrity, which is to say being your word. If I say it, it happens. And if people learn that I say things and they don't happen, then my words just evaporate like a puddle in the sun. They have no power at all. And the L, perhaps surprisingly, is love. And here I'm not talking about romantic love. It is well-wishing, loving kindness, the Buddhists would say. Simply wishing people well. And if you're on a stage, remembering probably the most important thing to remember, as I said a minute ago, it's not about you. It's about the gift you can give to other people. So that's pretty much true of all speaking, I think. You know, if it becomes about looking good, being right, you know, those kind of very tempting human tendencies, which both of which are actually pretty unattractive if they get out of hand, well, then people can tell. Whereas if you're genuinely seeking to give a gift to other people, you know, here's something for you, take it or leave it. I mean, I give it to you. I think you're going to like this. There's a humility about it. There's a generosity about it. Oh, that's what I mean by love. And there's a great exercise, actually, I could mention, which a guy talked to me many, many, many years ago for this, which is as you walk around, when we get back into the city, you know, you're walking around, people are in your way, things are irritating you. Instead of walking around thinking, get out of my way, you stupid person, you can be just thinking, bless you. And I'm not meaning this in a religious way, but just, I wish you well. I wish you well, person who just got in my way.
Interesting. You know? I love that.
Yeah. If you just go around and you're thinking, don't say it out loud because it can cause certain problems if you look around actually blessing people. If you're saying in your head, bless you, everybody you look at, amazing things happen. For example, you might catch somebody's eye and you might smile at each other because you've got only good thoughts going on, as opposed to, you know, the darkness of, you know, wishing, oh, you idiot. And then you catch somebody's eye and you'll look away immediately because you were thinking nasty things about them. So it creates connection. And, you know, when I have done that exercise, it feels like you're walking around a foot off the ground. It feels so light and so pleasing. So hail, honesty, authenticity, integrity, and love. That is the foundation for powerful speaking.
And you feel our communication and listening skills could actually help us become happier people. Tell us more about that.
Without doubt. Because there are a couple of things which I know from all the research tend to be connected with human happiness, which is not about wealth, of course. It's not even about image and respect and so forth. It's about intimacy, connection with other people, and service, doing things for other people. And both of those two things are enabled by listening and speaking. I mean, how can we possibly be intimate if we don't listen? As I said earlier, you know, it's the most common complaint in relationships. Because we tend to be these days, you know, there's so much going on, multi-track things happening all the time. Haven't got time to listen. Tell me about it now. I'm just going to send this email, but you can tell me about it when I'm... No. You know, we need to slow down somewhere and make space and give people that time in order to be intimate. And intimacy requires also listening to somebody in a very compassionate way, even if we disagree with them. And then, of course, service. It's not possible to serve somebody, really, if you don't understand them. How do you know what they want? How do you know what will make them happy? How do you know what is going to their language of love, if you like, or their the things that will please them the most that you can give them. So often we'll give people, you know, inappropriate gifts or things they don't appreciate. So both of those two things are fundamental to human happiness, and both of those two things are enabled by how well we communicate.
So often it seems like our messages to people or messages to us from other people are lost in textlation when they're written. And it doesn't seem like we necessarily convey the correct tone. I often find that if I'm reading a text back from somebody and I'm concerned that they're going to be upset with me, I read it in my head as being a little bit shorter or nastier. And Sometimes I'm concerned that maybe I'm coming off in a negative way when I don't mean to by text. How can we avoid that? It's so common. And gosh, that's something that I missed about talking to somebody face to face or over the phone.
Yes. Well, I mean, the easiest way to avoid it is to talk to them face to face or over the phone, of course.
Wouldn't that be a great solution?
Oh, yeah.
Just
well,
do that.
Good. Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting, isn't it, that the research when offices were getting densified and people were getting obsessed about open plan offices for collaboration, and they said, oh, it improves communication and so forth. Actually, the research by Gensler, this was, found that people in open plan offices tend to send more emails and speak less because they don't like being overheard because there are so many people around them. So there's an implication there. I think speaking and listening are almost sacred, and you're absolutely right. I mean, would you rather read a Shakespeare play or see or hear it? When you hear somebody speaking the words, there's so much stuff there that you don't get when you read. Now, I'm not denigrating reading at all. Novels, fantastic. You know, publishing has changed the world many times. It can be disseminated in the way that speaking generally couldn't for thousands of years. However, the prosody, pace, volume, you know, the passion and the emotion of a voice, knowing that person from their voice, you know, you get a far more intimate connection immediately that you hear somebody. That's why radio is still hugely popular. Media fragmentation has happened, but radio, and particularly podcasting, which is the fastest growing medium, marketing medium in the world at the moment. I mean, it's going to be $1 billion industry in the US in a year or two. I'm sure you'll be delighted to learn. But
we just love to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason for this. There's a reason for this. It's because it's so intimate. It's so connecting. And so, yes, you're right. You do have to be careful. We've all sent emails, haven't we, that we just wish we could recall immediately. And emails which have been misinterpreted when we thought they were perfectly clear. So there is no doubt in my mind that speaking to somebody and listening to somebody speak to us is irreplaceable.
Julian, our show is called Nobody Told Me, and we always ask our guests, what is your Nobody Told Me lesson? So in your case, what is it that nobody told you about speaking or listening or communicating in general that you've learned over the years and that you would like to pass on to others so that they don't have to spend time learning it on their own?
Avoiding some misunderstandings.
Indeed. Well, I think two things probably. First, that these things are skills. I always thought that they were just things you pick up. It's part of living. It's like breathing or your heart beating, isn't it? Listening and speaking. They're just natural things you do. Well, they are to a degree, up to a point, but it's a very low point. And so, you know, I've done lots of training. People often say to me, oh, I really like your voice, or you look so confident on stage or whatever. Well, that's not an accident, is it? I mean, you guys, you know how to do exactly what you're doing with this podcast. You're professional at it. I have no doubt at all that you've trained, you've practiced. It's like anything else, isn't it? It's a skill, and we need to take it seriously because it powerfully affects our outcomes in life. So that's the first thing, really, that these two very important things are skills. And the second thing, which I had never realized, is the value of consciousness, of shining the light of consciousness on, well, pretty much anything, but here we're talking about listening in particular. So, you know, people often say to me, well, what's the secret? I mean, what can I do to become a better listener? And the simple answer is be conscious. Be conscious that you're doing something. And that opens the door, because the moment you're conscious that you're actually doing a thing here in listening, and it's not just, you know, like breathing, it's not a natural capability, then you can start to work at it. You can ask yourself, how could I do this better? How did I listen in that conversation? You can ask your friends, do I listen to you? How well do I listen to you? It is a fascinating journey. And of course, when you start listening to the world around you, you're basically opening a new dimension in your experience of life. And I think we really need to listen fully in order to live fully in this world. So it's a very exciting journey to be on.
And Julian, you just have a wealth of resources available online that people can learn from, including, like we said, the 5 TED Talks that you've had that have been watched more than 100 million times. But where else can people connect with you online and learn more about the book and your blog posts?
Well, I have a little website, juliantreasure.com, and anybody who goes there and pops their email address in will send a set of 5 absolutely free video lessons from me, which are 5 techniques for improving your listening skills, 5 little exercises you can take on at home, which will really move you forward in your listening. So I hope people enjoy those. And all you have to do is go to juliantreasure.com and we'll happily send them to you.
Julian, we thank you so much for joining us. This has been very insightful and just a delight.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's been great fun. And I hope people are listening out there.
I know that they are. Our sincere thanks to Julian Treasure, author of How to Be Heard, Secrets for Powerful Speaking and Listening, and also author of Sound Business. And again, his website is juliantreasure.com. I'm Jan Black.
And I'm Laura Owens.
You're listening to Nobody Told Me. Thank you so much for joining us.